Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Homemaker Chic Podcast. This is the podcast where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. Just two of us here, two ladies, two best friends, 2,000 miles apart, 10 kids, two husbands, two farms, two businesses. So we're here slogging it out with you as homemakers, and we're glad that you're here with us. Every Monday, we meet you here, and we are in season 19 now, Angela.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
That means well over 200 episodes.
Yeah, I don't even know.
There's
a lot. That's
a lot.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, not sorry. Goodness.
There are certain things I do not do, and one of them is go back and consume any of my old content. I can't take it. It is. No. It's cringy, isn't it?
It is cringy. I wonder if other, and I'm going to use this term really loosely, I wonder if other art forms are the same. Like when I get done with a painting, am I allowed to look at it and go, I like that? Like, or as the artist, are you just supposed to be like perpetually, eternally critical of everything you do? I mean, at some point, like my last two YouTube videos, I'm like, dang, I really like these. Now, if I were to watch them 6 months from now, that would be different.
Right. That's the thing.
Obviously. But like, did Monet get done with the water lilies and go, damn, that is good. Like, what are the rules?
I don't know. Well, there's that quote, art is never finished, only ever abandoned. But I was recently referencing a recipe in one of my cookbooks, and I pulled it out and I got really distracted because I put pictures of my kids in all my books. And so when you go and you're a mom and you look back and you see these little chubby hands holding tomatoes or whatever, can't take it. So I get distracted quite easily. Anyway, so Stu grabbed the book and he was flipping through it, and he said, this is really good. And I think maybe there's a window where you love it. Then there's a window where you hate it, and like, I can do better now. I know better. And then there's a window where it's past that point and you're just like, this is good.
Yeah, like, I think I'm glad love I did it. This. Love yeah. it, because you should. Like, you just put your hand to it, and it's an expression of your creativity and your skill at the time. And then I think hate it comes in growth. And then a significant amount of time passes, and you can look back and pragmatically appreciate it from a distance.
Yep. That's exactly how it works with my photography. So, yeah, I think so. And we are, you know, homemaking is an art form too. I guess sort of to my benefit and to my demise, my home has been photographed and videoed for the last 15 years, and there's been plenty of cringeworthy moments. So if you have ever decorated or been like, what was I thinking? I'm right there with you. So you're welcome here, though. This is your tribe.
You can be cringy with us.
yeah. Come on. So here we are. This season, we are minding the gap. We are talking about creating margin for ourselves, creating gaps of emotional space, physical space, giving ourselves a little bit of wiggle room. And so what was it that we talked about last week? How were we minding the gap?
Yeah, the week one, we just kind of like did a kind of a review, and we talked about like our health. And then crud, what did we talk about last week?
I don't remember.
Oh my goodness.
Did we talk about health last week?
I can't remember. No, that was kind of how we opened the show. We just kind of...
Oh, we talked about decluttering last week.
Oh, creating physical space. Gracious. In our physical homes. Space. That's making some gaps. It's a great... I mean, obviously with homemaking, there's so many catchphrases. There are so many like little nugget phrases that you can adopt, and that when employed, really, really do change the way your home functions. And I think this is a good one. And especially in this sort of slightly, well, for those of us with snow or whatever, it's a slightly slower time for a lot of us, just a little bit. And it's a good time to stretch and make those gaps because busier times are coming. And that's like the whole concept of this season, is that life is going to happen. Those variables are going to happen every day. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little. You just opened the milk and it went sour and you weren't expecting it. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they're big. Car breaks down. You need a new transmission, you know, or somebody ends up in the hospital or something. But just structuring your life and your routine, your pantry, whatever it is, so that there's, like you said, some wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you are new here, Angela and I both have gone through some pretty difficult financial times, and both of us were pretty hardcore into Dave Ramsey back mm-hmm. in the day. And mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for the habits that I learned from Dave Ramsey. They still mm-hmm. have stuck around to this day. Mm-hmm. One of those, the very first baby step that Dave Ramsey has you do is to put $1,000 in an account. So he calls
might
this
as
your
well
emergency
have been a million,
fund.
By the way. That oh, might yeah. He might as well have just had, like, what is it? 9 zeros?
Yes.
8 zeros, whatever. Yeah, wow.
It felt insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your first step. You're not thinking about paying off your credit cards or saving for, you're not thinking about anything like that. It's just mm-hmm. put $1,000 in the bank for emergencies. So we worked at this. We got there eventually. And this was early on in our marriage. And now, and here we are this many years later, $1,000 in my checking account is zero to me.
Mm.
That's my zero amount. Like, I've looked at it for so long like that,
mm-hmm.
that's what I see. And think about what he's doing with that baby step. He's creating financial margin.
Mm-hmm.
You blow a tire. Okay, it's $250. Okay, we got it. We can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't have
water
to think about
goes.
How are we... Water heater right. goes. Husband loses a job. You know, you can cover yourself for X amount of days. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's that whole concept. You've created a buffer. You've created space.
Mm-hmm.
You've created where things can move a lot easier. Mm-hmm. It's like an oiled joint, you know? It just yeah. shifts and moves easier. And obviously, that's a financial application of it. But
right.
kind of like that concept, that feels really good, especially this time of year. Because
yeah.
I know there are a lot of homeschooling moms listening too, and for a lot of us, this is like the meat and potatoes part of our year, where
yeah, it's
we
usually like
hammer.
That first 6 to 7 weeks, and then it gets a little sloggy. You got Halloween costumes, and then boom, it's Thanksgiving, and then it's like, oh, let's just bake cookies. But there's, you know, so it's like mm-hmm. that first chunk, those first few weeks, then it gets a little bit more fluid, and now this time is like, no, this is it.
This is game on.
This
until is
game
we
on.
Give up in April.
Doubling up. Like, just people, I'm just like, just stay at the table. Just keep going. Just keep going,
yep.
you know, because
yep.
there will be that, you know, for us, that 48 degree balmy day in March where you're going to want to play outside.
You're outside. Yeah. I've tried to create actually some margin with work because it's gotten to the point, you know, my kids are so competent and they do so much by themselves, but mm-hmm. I don't want them to do everything by themselves. Like,
right.
I want to be a part of this. And
right.
that's involved me creating margin so that I can make sure that I have the exact amount of time I need to sit down and dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And like,
mm-hmm.
it's not just, hey, mom, I did my math. It's like, okay, well, can I look at it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's grade it. Let's correct mm-hmm. the problems that are wrong. You know, like just doing the whole thing. And that's a very energizing pocket to be in. So
mm-hmm.
if creating space even feels like too much work for you, I hope that you feel encouraged in listening to this, because the idea is that, like a well-oiled joint, a well-lubricated joint, things can move easier.
Mm-hmm.
Things can move a lot easier. So
yeah, yeah. And if you're brand new on the show, like you're gonna catch this if you stick around. We're not talking about just like one fell swoop. Oh,
I
you're going to be able to take all these, you know, 10 bullet points from this season and implement them next Saturday, and your life is going to be better. The laundry will never pile up. There will always be $1,000 in the bottom of your checking. Like, that's not it. It's not like anything. We're talking about everything we talk about is baby steps. And like I said, it's just like little nuggets. I think all of our season titles are little tidbits that you can just take in. You know, all of our stuff, better, not more, whatever,
yep.
make your bed, like all the
all
crazy
the
season titles we've had.
Yep. That's very true.
Speaking of seasons, we should say thank you to this season's sponsor. And they're going to come in really handy this season. Branch Basics, thank you so much for sponsoring, being the official season 19 sponsor. These are the cleaning products that Shay and I have each used for a few years now. And speaking of creating some margins, about saving yourself money. My word picture I use all the time with this is I just know what those Target runs are like when you get a wild hair and you want to clean your house and you're like, ah, I got to go to Target. And she starts ticking those items in the checkout lane and all of a sudden it's $78 worth of spray bottles. And you're like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. So the idea with Branch Basics is they have a fabulous concentrate that you can make multiple products from and do your laundry, and they're clean, they're non-toxic and refillable and fantastic.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that they point out, which I think is really important, again, creating margin here. On average, the air tested outside our homes versus inside our homes. Think about that, okay? Mm. The inside of our homes is 500 times more polluted than the air outside of our home. So when you think about that, you think about there's a real reason why when you walk outside and you get fresh air, you mm-hmm. feel good. A huge contributor, a primary contributor to indoor air pollution are cleaning products. So those harsh cleaning products that we use that, yeah, but they smell nice and, you know, aren't they fancy? maybe, but think about what that's doing to your health. Think about that when you're breathing that in, especially this time of year when we're not outside as much as we normally are. So Branch Basics is not like that. It's completely fragrance free. No smell at all. You can add essential oils if you would like to. But it's plant and mineral based. It's free from harmful preservatives. It's biodegradable. It's non-GMO. It's gluten and tree nut free. It's not tested on animals. So these are all really important factors when we talk about creating a healthy home environment. So you can visit links.branchbasics.com/homemakerschic. Use that link because you can get 15% off your starter kit. So the starter kits come with the concentrate, the oxygen powder boost, which is kind of like your really abrasive, slightly more aggressive cleaner, something you would use instead of bleach, let's say, to bleach your kitchen sink or your toilet or scrub your bathtub, those sorts of things. Then it comes with all your spray bottles and it'll just have little marks on the spray bottles, this much water, this much of the concentrate, and then you can just reuse those spray bottles over and over and over again. So the starter kit's really a one-time purchase. And then after that, you just get your concentrate. You keep filling everything up. So it's a really great no-waste system for you to be cleaning your house with. So there's a link over on Instagram that Angela put there, which is a great way for you just to super simply just hit the clean button. It'll take you right there. Or you can click the link in the show notes, links.branchbasics.com/homemakerschic.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome.
Okay, I'm going to put something. We got all kinds of messages over on Instagram this week, which I love. So we're going to be talking about creating margin in the laundry room today, ladies, which is
super sexy. Just
so I think laundry is sexy.
It is. Actually.
I freaking love it. And I didn't always. So we'll get into that.
Oh my gosh. I used to be so bad at it, Shay. Holy cow.
So bad.
So bad. Like moldy clothes bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bad. But before we hold on. Okay. Hold that badness. Okay. We talked 2 weeks ago, I think, about the genetic test that I took, and we got a lot of messages that were like, what was that called?
To get him on the show. Can we try to get him on the show?
Gary Brecka?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I'm going to try to get him on the show. That would be freaking awesome.
Okay. So I've been trying to figure out what the stupid name of this test is, because I called my doctor here and I just said, hey, you know that test that tests for the MTHFR genetic mutation? I want that test. And so I never fully knew what the test is called. So I've pulled it all up to see if I can find it. And I can't really. But what you'll request, so you can get this from a doctor, you can get this from a naturopath. It's just a cheek swab, you guys. It's a very simple test. It's testing for genetic variation and mutation. So I don't know what that's called.
Well,
Using ProFlex PCR and real-time PCR. That's what mine says.
it's just called
What's it called?
methylation testing.
Oh, methylation testing. Okay. Maybe that's what it's called. Or genetic mutations. Anyway, there you go. That's what you can
It's gene
request.
testing,
Gene
aka
testing.
methylation
Okay,
testing.
there you go. There's the answer to that question for you, ladies.
Sweet.
Okay, let's talk about laundry
Oh, I thought you had
because
like a bunch of Instagram stuff to
I
go
mean, I
through. That was
do, but I want to talk about laundry
okay.
first. I want to talk about laundry
Okay.
first
Okay.
because, look, we joke on the podcast all the time that we've not arrived. We're learning all this stuff right alongside you. We're talking to ourselves. We're trying to encourage ourselves, and we're trying to get better all the time at this art of homemaking. Okay. From when we started this podcast to now, there has been exponential growth in the laundry department.
I thought I was a good homemaker when we started the show. I mean, it's made a big difference. And the laundry situation is shocking. And I want to be like pragmatic in that. I'm sure it coincides with not having like 42 toddlers. Sure there's something to do with it. But you know, like last night, my boys were putting clean sheets on their bed. They're 12 and 7. And I was like, this is awesome.
So often, and honestly, if I'm going to be honest here, when I hear homemakers gripe about things, which we can tend to do when we're not on our best, it's about laundry. It's cooking supper and laundry. Like, those seem to be really two pain points for people.
Yeah. And I think most of it's because you just don't want to do it. I mean, neither of those are insurmountable things. Like, we just don't want to do it. When I don't want to make dinner, I don't want to make dinner. When I don't want to do laundry, I don't want to do laundry. I mean, like, it's not like the laundry's bigger than you. Maybe it's gotten bigger than you temporarily, but your habits have made it that way. And, like, that's, yeah.
So one of the women in my cooking community, we were talking about menu planning on our call this week, and she said she finally realized she was making it way too hard. Because the
Okay.
reality is, most of us have foods that we love, and we have the same kinds of things that we tend to eat over and over again. And we'll introduce new recipes when we have the time to try one, or, we'll maybe put a new side dish on to our kind of normal main dish. But, like, for the most part, we tend to kind of eat the same things, right? We're creatures of habit. And so she sat down and she made a fall and winter and then spring and summer list. And it was just like, okay, here's the baked goods. We make scones, we make bagels, we make English muffins, we make sandwich bread, we make French boule, whatever. Okay, we make spaghetti, we make tacos, we make pad thai, we make whatever, roasted chicken thighs. Just listed out, like, kind of here's our dirty dozen for each of our things. And then she sits down with that list every time she needs to menu plan. And she's like, okay, boom, 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 boom. I know exact. I can just fill in the sp spot super easy because these are foods people like. These are foods we know how to make. These are foods that we keep the ingredients for. And then what she would do is look at her weekly calendar and say, okay, Thursday night, I'm going to have a little bit of extra time. I'm going to try that new carbonara recipe that I've been wanting to try. So that takes the place of that spot. And so it was like finding these pockets where you could do both. You could just have what you need for dinner and stop thinking about it so much and just put food on the table. And then you also had times for creative expression and
That's what I do.
exploration and development.
I have the basics that I know stuff's just going to be there. I can do it. I can ask the girls to help me. And then I look at the calendar and go, when do I get to be creative?
When do I get to play? And I think laundry is can kind of be the same thing. I actually do have moments where I feel like I get to play and be creative with my laundry. So we had just an absolute doozy of a December with work. And we got done, like, our last assignment done. And the first thing I did was go get my ironing board and my iron, and I ironed my basket. And I want to talk about systems. I want to talk about like real systems that you and I both use. We do it differently. It's all about finding a system that works for your family. I mean, this is so silly, but I bought this stupid little ironing board hanger screwed into my wall. My ironing board goes flat. I hang it on the thing. There's no trying to like squeeze it between the washing machine and the wall. There's no leaning it against the door so that it's constantly falling over. Like it has a rack to go to on the wall where it lifts it up and it stays flat and everybody knows where it goes. It doesn't move around. And it was $6, the little rack. Those are like very simple things, but they give you a system, a method.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, I've seen a lot of laundry rooms, you know, worked in a lot of homes, seen a lot of laundry rooms. It's a crapshoot, literally. Mountains of laundry, no system. I mean, that's depressing.
That is depressing.
That is
Why would
not
you
an
want to go
art,
in
and
there
I'm
and
not
work?
criticizing, like I've been there. But yeah, like why would you want to do that? Why would you want to smell musty clothing? Why would anybody want to even think about putting on a nice outfit? Like forget it. Forget it all. Why would you want to keep your washer and dryer wiped down and tidy? Like just forget it, you know. Yeah, though.
They're so This topic actually makes me really excited. It's making me
I can see you're
sweat. I
starting
know.
to
I'm
get like
sorry. I'm getting red.
antsy.
Because again, been there,
Right.
like totally been there.
And
And
in some, I've had some janky, nasty laundry worms, laundry spaces. I had one once that was like you stood in water every time you had to do the laundry because it was like where the drain and tarantulas and like an old shower head over the washing machine that never got taken down, I guess, from like where people used to hose off in the basement. Oh my gosh, it was horrific. I was always afraid a spider was going to land on my head. Yuck.
I had
Yeah.
one time in Alabama that was like the washer dryer on a completely rotted sun porch. And the laundry would almost rot faster than you could wash it because there was no temperature control. And I mean, literally, this is like 50 feet from the Gulf of Mexico. Like it was so humid. The weather was so harsh. They would just rot. Everything would rust. And I mean, everything smelled like mildew all the time. It was horrible. Spiders. Oh, palmetto bugs.
Gross. Yeah.
Worst.
Oh, yeah. Like those big,
The
they're like
crying
crunchy
cockroaches, you
beetles.
guys, are
Yeah. Oh,
so
my
bad.
heaven. Yeah. So I don't have this conversation today from like my castle. Okay? Like I get it. I'm still doing laundry in an attic, but I have nice machines now and it's on its way to being something, but like I get it. I have all the sympathy and empathies. I have all the theses for anything you're going through if your laundry room is not some Pinterest-worthy fantasy. And I think it's really easy as a homemaker to think like I'll be good at it when I'll get good at it when my house looks like something it's never going to look like.
And
It
even
might
if it
not be in the
does,
cards for you. You know, like a Pinterest-worthy laundry room right might never happen. Like
even if it does, that's a moment. That's what we were talking about last week. That is
yeah.
like, I hate that when you look at magazines and like Better Homes and Gardens, and it's like, yeah, my room would look pretty good too if there was $700 worth of fresh flowers in it.
Exactly. It's called staging.
Yeah, it's staged. It's completely staged. It's
Right?
not real. You know, those
Right.
6 foot tall cherry blossom branches. It's like, yeah, that makes the room look pretty good. They're dead
Right?
36 hours later.
Right?
Then what?
Then what?
You're
Yeah.
totally right. I'll be good at it when, as opposed to those times when it's not ideal and you don't have maybe a lot of storage and maybe you don't have a sink in your laundry room or maybe you don't even have a dryer. Maybe you just have a line rack that you're drying things on. That's when you need to be good at it. It's not hard to be good when it's perfect and you've got like a folding island and seven
Yeah.
irons and floor to ceiling cupboards for all your storage. That's
Right,
not
right.
hard. We're trying to grow sturdy here, people. We're not trying to grow perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So, and just, you know, when we have a, when like conversations like this, I think a lot, like we mentioned cookie, you know, dinner time and this, like it's just time to set aside excuses. You can't get better if you're vice gripping onto your excuses.
Thank you. Let's not grumble about it. Let's get better at it. Because it's not, I mean, honestly, there are certain moments that I feel like I'm pretty good at not taking for granted. Maybe we've talked about this. Warm shower. Every time I get into a warm shower, I say, thank you, Jesus, for this warm shower. I cannot. It is such a gift to be able to wash one's body with soap and warm water at the touch of a button. That is incredible.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And every time I take one, I think, this is amazing. Every time I get into my bed at night and it's warm and it's comfortable and I feel safe, every single night, I just say, thank you. This is incredible. When you think about the millennia of people who slept on hay bales or like under trees or, you know, take your pick. We just get to lay in bed on these beautiful mattresses with beautiful bedding and feel safe. Like, that's an incredible thing. And the third thing is when I put clothes in the washing machine, and I think you could be down at the river scrubbing these on a washboard.
Scrub board or on a on a rock.
Seriously.
Yeah. No,
that doesn't mean I haven't grumbled about it, but I do. I am aware. I'm like, you're literally putting clothes into the machine and pushing a button and then taking them out, putting them into the other machine and pushing the button. Is that hard for you?
When I was growing up, I had to fold the laundry, right? And I grumbled, man. I flipping hated it. I had to fold it and then I had to put it all away up and down the stairs, you know? And I would say to my mom, like, I hate this. And she's like, well, I washed it. And even as a kid, I was like, oh, I'm on to you. What did you have to put it in the machine? Wow. Boo hoo.
Yeah. But there are systems, ladies. So my laundry, I've talked about this before, but humor me. My laundry life was changed after I watched a YouTube video. And it was this mom who had like 12 children. Okay. And I have 4 and a farm. So it kind of feels like 12 sometimes. All right.
Yeah.
And you never know quite what's going to come through the laundry when you have a farm, such as a dead bird or a dead rodent or take your pick. Okay. Egg. Washed an egg before. Washed many eggs. Somebody sticks them in the pockets. And then anyway. So I'm watching this YouTube video and this is the system. Okay. So if you need a system, this is mine.
Okay, I have a question. Is this system? I know, but I want to be sure. I want to cover everyone, like, because, like I said, I feel like mine's really changed since I don't have tiny people.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll work. It's relevant.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, when this mom looked at her laundry system, there were 2 pinch points, pain points where things got stuck in the laundry line. One was in sorting the laundry. Somebody, you got to dump it out and then, okay, socks and boys' clothes, girls' clothes, rags, whatever. That was taking too much time. The other was putting them away. And so her husband was an engineer. And so he kind of was like, okay, I can problem solve this. Everybody in the house got their own laundry basket. Doesn't matter what kind of laundry basket. We use like the tall, skinny, fabric-y kind of ones. And I gave everybody a different color because we started the system when my kids couldn't read yet. So I would write their first initial on it in permanent marker. Okay, G. Okay. G has the pink one. Okay. Owen has the blue one. Will has the green one. So they, you know, they could make sense of it. And they just knew this is your laundry basket. Okay. Nothing goes in the laundry basket except for that person's clothes. So Juliet has her dirty clothes hamper. All her dirty clothes go into that dirty clothes hamper. Okay, then once a week, everyone's assigned a day. So George is on Monday, Juliet's on Tuesday, boys are on, I do the boys together. I always treat them like the same person. I'm sorry, boys. Boys are on Wednesday, Stuart and I are on Thursdays, towels are on Fridays. So it's just a set thing. So it's a little bit every day. But what that means is then, okay, if it's George's laundry day, She'll take her hamper, has all her clothes in it, then she'll strip her bed of her sheets. Sheets go into the hamper. She does it. I mean, depending on your kids, I used to do it for them. They do it now. So their clothes go in. I don't care about sorting kids' clothes. Okay. So for the most
And by
part, it's
that, you
like a load
mean
a week.
darks and lights?
Yeah. I don't bother with that with kids. And it's been fine. So they wash their clothes. And when they're washing their clothes, their hamper goes onto the washing machine. So when you look in the laundry room, you know, okay, Georgia, you need to go and move your laundry because you can see her hamper on the washing machine. Okay. Then they get dried. And when she, then she's just responsible. And again, if you have young kids here, okay, that's going to be on you, mom, for a few years. But like now, I literally, the clothes just go into the hamper, they take it back to their room, and they put them away. So all of it's done in one day, in one or two loads for each person. It's a very simple system, but think about it, you're not sorting out clothes. You know? It's so easy, but for me, like I spent years. I guess I'll wash all the, you know, this today, or I guess I won't wash anything today, and then I'll wash seven loads on Friday, and then I'll spend my whole Friday night sorting laundry. I mean, it was just a total waste of
It's awful.
time. It's
It's a total
awful.
waste of time.
And what do?
And
You put it on your bed? Like you're gonna do that before you want to go to bed? Yeah,
no, I
right.
don't. Yeah, no, you know how I feel about laundry and furniture. It ain't happening. And then what happens, like the great thing is, by the time they're 7 and a half, 8, they got it. They're doing it
Oh,
themselves.
yeah. Oh, yeah. And
And
it's not hard.
it's not hard. Yeah.
Okay, real fast. I want you to tell us about your system, but before we do that, give us just a few minutes here so that we can share our advertisers with you. Keep Homemaker Chic on the air. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Is your linen closet ready for life? Do you need extra towels, sheets, blankets, pillows? You know, extra linens for when life happens? What if you could have heirloom linens that didn't end up on next year's garage sale? What about investing once in an American-made product designed to last a lifetime? Shay and I both dress our beds and homes in American Blossom linens, and you can too. AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off. Our friends at American Blossom are dedicated to bringing us quality American-made linens that can stand the test of time and can stand up to our lifestyle. Our theme this season is Mind the Gap. So give yourself some extra wiggle room with extra pillows, towels, duvet covers, and more from AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off. That's AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Get 20% off by using the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 at checkout.
Gardeners, listen up. We want you to save on your garden seeds this year. So visit homemakerchicpodcast.com/survivalgardenseeds and use the code HOMEMAKERGARDEN for 10% off the big three kits: the Home Garden Collection, Homesteader Collection, or Farmer Collection. Survival Garden Seeds are on a mission to help teach you self-reliance through gardening. Look, a lot of us are gardeners here, which means a lot of us are going to be buying seeds for the coming growing season. Why not buy seeds that are guaranteed to grow anywhere in the United States and guaranteed to be non-GMO heirloom seeds? Survival Garden Seeds will even teach you how to collect every single variety of seed on the back of the packet. This is a fabulous family-run company that has built a huge resource for us gardeners, and it also is the seeds that Angela and I use in our garden. Don't just shop their prepackaged kits, use their growing guides, learn how to save seeds, read the blog. There's lots of information there for you. HomemakerChicPodcast.com/survivalgardenseeds and use code HOMEMAKERGARDEN for 10% off one of their most popular big three seed collections.
If we are minding the gap, that means we are being prepared. And I want you to prepare future you for beautiful, sexy skin. And you can do that using luxurious natural skincare from Tubes & Co. Treat your skin today, enjoy the results today and in the future. Use the code HMC10 for 10% off. Tubes' natural commitment means that you are using ingredients like cold-pressed olive oil, organic grass-fed tallow. Emily Toops is the founder, and she has made all of her products without using synthetic chemicals, gross toxins and fillers,
artificial colors, no artificial fragrances, of course. They are made in the USA, and all the ingredients are sustainable, fair trade. We have full transparency here, and you can know that everything is ethically sourced. Skincare products should nourish our skin without leaving hormone-disrupting toxins in the body, but don't take our word for it. Prepare to look fabulous today and in the future with Tubes & Co. Skincare. Visit tubesandco.com. Shop organic skincare with the code HMC10 for a 10% discount.
Okay, so that's my system.
Yeah, mine's pretty similar. I have wicker baskets. I get wicker baskets at resale shops. And a lot of times they have like nice big ones with lids, you know, with a flip. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I just hit my headphones. Holy cow. a lid that's wired on. And, you know, it's really similar in that everybody has their own day. And then I do the bathroom towels. I just scoop them up a few times a week, do a quick load. Because what happens is when you do it this way, like there's a really good chance the machines are empty. Mm-hmm. Instead of always like being so full that you can't, there's no margin. There's mm-hmm. no, you know, if you've got an emergency load of towels that needs to get done, or you have an unexpected guest, you need to wash the guest bed sheets or something. They're not clean. Like the machines have space, literally. So it's really great. And then, you know, what happens is that you get to teach the kids how to do it. So maybe they're not sorting their laundry. But, you know, by the time like last night, they're 7 and a half, they can put the sheets on their bed. It's easier for them than it is for mom to bend over and lift mattresses and do all that. And then you're not pumping out teenagers that don't have a clue about anything either. So, like, the payoff is always happening. The payoff is always there for doing it this way. My kids know, they all know about stains. The spray is, like, right on the washing machine. Mm-hmm. And you spray the stain and you don't dry a stain. Like I'm teaching them about caring for their garments too. And the payoff is there as well because the replacement level comes down. Mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking about making spray bottles for everyone's hamper, for everyone's laundry basket. And they can just like hang right on. And that way, if they get a stain or something on Tuesday, but their laundry isn't until Friday, they can at least treat it. Mm-hmm. And do that. So that was my little epiphany last week as mm-hmm. I was thinking about this. My ironing board is set up right there with my iron is right on the dryer ready to use. So a lot of people in the family use the iron. Mm-hmm. So it's always full of water and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and listen, ladies, like you got to do laundry. Okay. Period. Mm-hmm. That's just the way that it is. But think about this. I use Branch Basics. So their starter kit comes with a laundry bottle. And so you use the concentrate to clean your clothes. And it works awesome. So if you're getting one of those starter kits or if you already have one, it comes with the laundry bottle. You just use a cap full. So I keep that bottle by my washing machine. And then I got one of those glass canisters with a glass lid. Mm-hmm. And I buy the oxygen boost from Branch Basics. So you can mm-hmm. use this like a stain cleaner. Like you would use
it's OxiClean. It's like OxiClean. Yeah, that's how I use theirs. And so that's why when my kids, right. since they don't sort their laundry, you just throw a scoop of that in
totally.
To hit the whites. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I put that into a little glass canister with the little scoop. And so even that looks pretty. You know, mm-hmm. it's different than just a ginormous, clunky plastic bottle. It's full of chemicals. It's got all this stuff. Like, there is an art. Like, I've actually thought about what do I want to wash my clothes with? How mm-hmm. do I want it to look? I keep a basket on top of my dryer, a little beautiful wicker basket that I got at a thrift store. Anytime something comes through the laundry that needs to be ironed, I do the ironing. I find it very pleasurable and relaxing. Mm-hmm. So I iron Stu's dress shirts, for example, or if the kids wash a dress coat or the boys' shirts for church, these kinds of things. They just go into the basket. Mm-hmm. And then every so often when the basket gets full, I'll set up the ironing board and iron all the pieces. I also iron all my hand towels that I use in my kitchen. Like, this is where that art comes. Like, You throw away your stained towels. You try to keep nice new ones, even if you're getting them at thrift stores. Go find discount ones or find ones at thrift stores or find ones at secondhand stuff. Look for like good quality fabrics and linens and slowly build your collection.
Collection.
But like when you're doing laundry just because you have to and it's just brute force, that's not fun. It's not pretty. It's not aesthetically pleasing. There's no art. It's not something you necessarily feel proud of. It's just something you're trying to slog through. That is not the same as feeling like I have a system. I'm putting this into place. I'm keeping us on track. And now I'm going to iron my hand towels that I love. And like, I'm telling you, when you get done and you've stain cleaned them and you've ironed them and you have a little stack that you're going to go put in your kitchen for the week, that's like homemaker crack, man. That's that's here, the good stuff. Like, don't deprive yourself of the fruit.
That's just it. Here, I think we do this to ourselves all the time. We reserve special things for special occasions, whether it's saving the china for once a year, or, I mean, think about how you feel at a bed and breakfast or at a hotel when the towel is pressed or they're stacked so beautifully in the bathroom. There are little things that we experience when we go into other spaces and stay there that make us feel so special that, and then we deny ourselves that in our own space.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? It takes like 4 minutes to iron a hand towel. If that brings you pleasure, like if you've been somewhere to a bed and breakfast with your husband, you're like, oh, I just loved the towel draped over the sink or whatever. Like, do that. Don't just save that for a vacation. Like, do those little things. Put those little moments in your home so you can experience them throughout the week, because homemaking is hard. And when you get those little pockets of enjoyment, like we say all the time on the show, it helps you want to keep going.
Totally. It is like that whole, like, treat yourself in a way, not in a self-indulgent kind of a way. But, you know, we were a one bathroom family until like a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, it was a small bathroom. Angela knows. Okay. So we had one shower in one bathtub, one toilet. And for years, I take baths often. I love baths. I would have to scoop up just like armloads of bath toys, you know, all the plastic little stuff. And I would scoop it out and I would put it into the bath basket, set it aside, take my bath. Well, a year ago, we put in a second bathroom in our, re-renovated the basement and put in a second bathroom. So now we have 2 showers and 2 bathtubs and 2 toilets. Praise the Lord. So wonderful. But the bathtub is just like a freestanding bathtub. And I bought one of those little silly things that goes, that spans across the tub, right? So it'll hold your things while you're in the tub. And I dress it up like I'm at a hotel. I put fresh flowers, towels on it, towels, candles, my favorite little candles. I'll put Cook's Illustrated magazines. Like, I just set it up so that it feels wonderful. And I'm the only one who goes in there. It's for nobody. Nobody cares, but I care. And it means a lot to me when I get in to like have that beauty built in into the situation. And the same is true for the laundry room. You know, all the little remnants that come through laundry. Oh, a Lego. Oh, a key.
My gosh, Shay. It's like a
necklace.
It's like Ariel's grotto on top of my washing machine. I keep like a bowl there.
Yeah. So somebody bought me a Panettone from a local place here, and it was in this gorgeous Dolce and Gabbana Panettone tin, and it's colorful and patterned, and it's like the old school, like, cookie tins that your grandma used to keep buttons in, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kept it, obviously, put it up on my little shelf, and that's where all my remnants live. So instead of just throwing them on the dryer and forever having the Lego or the battery or whatever it is just sitting there.
The Nerf bullet.
Exactly.
You name it.
I just put it into my pretty little tin. And it's like those small things, but you feel like, hey, I got a system for that. Like, I'm not under the bus here. I'm not the victim of my laundry.
Right.
I'm not the victim of my laundry. And maybe I'm not a master of it, but like I'm not under it. And I think that's kind of like the goal. That's kind of like where we want to get to.
Oh, yeah. We want to get to the point where like the laundry is not bigger than I am. I am like, we're all competent women. We can manage the laundry. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not challenging. And now we're talking to so many people, like people are dealing with that. Like you and I have farms. Some people are like on full on ranches. There's a lot of dirt coming through. You know, there's a lot of mud and coveralls and there's a lot going on out there.
Yeah.
But I think kind of just stepping back and saying how can this be improved? And that might mean like a moratorium. Like you might just need, you know, moms with small kids. If I had small kids right now and I was back in like where my laundry was a hot mess, like everything might need to come to a grinding halt. That's where like everybody's staying in their pajamas for 3 days while I get a handle on it. Stop all production of laundry while I get a grip on this situation. And then we will hit start.
You know what I used to do when my kids were little? Because I also did cloth diapers. And
I know, I did too. Like, wow.
I loved them. I loved it. I loved using cloth diapers. I mean, it was not nearly as convenient as disposables, but it was a wonderful choice for us. And I'm so glad that I did it. And, but I used to keep kind of a pretty bucket in there with a lid, lidded bucket. And it was full of water with a little bit of laundry detergent and tea tree oil. And so, you know, the kid blows out the onesie.
Right.
I couldn't like stop and scrub and do all this all the time. I had little kids, very physically needed. And so I would just put the laundry like that into the soak bucket, you know? And so then once a week or twice a week or whatever it was, I would drain the extra liquid off into the bathtub, wash the load, but it'd been like soaking and like, you know, kind of cared for at least a little bit. I mean, think about when you're doing laundry, it's like when you're doing dishes. Who's coming to bother you and interrupt you when you're doing dishes? No one, because then they know they're going to be suckered into help, right? Like there are a few pockets where the homemaker actually usually is left alone, you know? Like my family doesn't bother me when I'm vacuuming, because if they do, I'll be like, hey, finish this room for me. I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Like, okay.
No one interrupts me when I'm doing laundry. It's kind of my domain. And as much as the kitchen is my domain, people be in my business in there.
Oh, big my time. Gosh.
Big time. Not so in the laundry room. It's my one little pocket. I mean, sometimes I'll even do my kids' laundry. I genuinely enjoy it. Sometimes I'll make them do it more often than not, but I find it pleasurable.
I like folding it, kind of like nerd. I'm a very anal retentive folder.
Marie Kondo, I follow her folding thing, the way she folds socks and folds shirts.
The way my mom taught me. I'm like very picky. I just need to match. But that I'm picky because that's very pleasing to me to like stand there and accomplish. I like like my personality is such that I like tasks where you can see your progress. I like that's raking leaves because I can see that what I've done. Yeah. Like I'm kind of weird like that.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, instant gratification.
So I mean, you put in messy clothes that smell bad. You throw away the socks with the holes. You sort out the shirt that's too small. You wash the stuff. An hour later, it comes out of the dryer looking beautiful and fluffy and clean. And this time of year, I mean, we're talking seasonally here, okay? We set up like a little temporary screen in our bedroom. We got a couch in our bedroom, the Craigslist couch. And I love it. It's this blue velvet couch. It's fabulous. The kids think it's fantastic. And so we set up a little temporary screen because I know this might sound crazy to some of you who have little kids, but like I'm at the stage now with my kids where like I don't really want to be away from them. Like it feels tangible. I feel them growing and changing, and I just want to be with them. And so even at nighttime, it's really easy this time of year for everyone to kind of go to their separate locations of the house.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that because we're so busy working all day and everyone's kind of doing school or practicing piano. And so this is so silly, but our family unites over shark shows. So
you guys crack me up.
We will put on like you know, shark versus orca or whatever. Take your pick of the Discovery Channel options, you know, Shark Island or whatever. Summer of the Shark. And we'll sit there on this couch in our bedroom and watch this shark show. And I always come out with a basket of laundry. And it's the laundry for that day. And I'll fold it. And it's like genuinely some of my happiest moments where I'm like just folding laundry, hanging with my kids, watching a shark show.
Juliet teases me because I'll do towels at the schoolroom table. And she's like, or the school table, you know, Juliet's like, oh my gosh, this is such, every time you do that, mom, it's such a homeschool mom thing. Folding towels at the table while we do school. She's like, it's so cliche. I love folding towels though.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. I genuinely, and if that sounds crazy to you guys, this might be a great kind of time for you to reflect on. I mean, I'm not saying you have to love laundry. Maybe we're weird, Angela. I don't know. But there can be a pleasure from doing work that you have to do anyway and doing it well and doing it beautifully.
I didn't like it till I got good at it.
Yeah, same.
Or until I improved my habits. Let's put it that way. Yeah. And there's all sorts of little things. I mean, like, my grandma always would take the clothes out of the dryer, and she never just put them right in a basket. She'd open the dryer and lay them flat on the dryer door. And then she'd take them flat and put them in the basket. And she was a farmer's wife and obviously would get busy, had a lot of things going on. So then if she couldn't fold it right then, they were flat.
Yep.
And I'm to this day like the same way. I'm like, keep it flat for the love. Don't just rumple it all in a pile.
Yeah.
What if you can't get to it for 2 days?
Yeah.
Speaking of gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep it flat.
We're minding the gap. Let's take a quick gap moment here and cue the wine music.
Let's do.
Because
do you have a wine today?
I do. I have a wine I want to share with you because I actually think you'll really like it. I know you're a big, bad Bordeaux kind of a girl. But this is an interesting one. So, of course, we want you to visit dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic and use that link because they will send you, when you do your first order of wine with Dry Farm Wines, they'll send you an extra bottle in your box for just a penny. So you want to make sure that you use that link. And Angela's going to tell you why you want to drink Dry Farms before I tell you about this wine.
For all the no reasons, no added food coloring, no GMO yeast, no added sugar, no added anything. So we're talking about people that are professionals in their craft. They're picking the grapes off the vine. They're fermenting them in whatever technique they choose, whether it's stainless steel or a barrel, wood barrel. And that is the wine they're creating. That takes a huge talent. Because it's just them and nature. And then you get to just drink that beautiful, natural wine with no added junk. And wine is really sort of, I know a lot of us enjoy it. It adds a beautiful quality to our meals and to our life. It's enjoyable. And a lot of that enjoyment is ruined with garbage. And we think that maybe the slight headache the next morning, even just after a glass or two, or the bloated belly, we think that's all sort of normal. It's like anything with life, where there's a lot of negative things, like even with our health, that we just think are normal. It's just part of aging. And usually it's from crud. Different wine is crud-free.
It's crud-free wine.
Crud-free wine.
Okay, so this is a fun bottle. I want you to, you can request bottles to be added into your box with Dry Farm Wines, but at the risk of sounding like an alcoholic, which I am very much not.
Very much not.
Okay. One of the things that I really appreciate about European culture is that it's not such a faux pas to drink wine every day because it's not done. It's not like you're going to a sports bar and, you know, pounding beers. You know, it's not like that. It's having a glass with your dinner. And that can be that. You know, there seems to be this sort of more social concept of just having a little bit, having better, not more. Okay? You know what I'm talking about.
it's very cultural. I mean, I had a friend once who used to work for a Campus Crusade for Christ in Europe. And she said, you know, they'd have the big luncheons and there'd be a bottle of white and a bottle of red on every table.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine that here?
Oh, yeah. Every lunch.
No, that's
every
not
meal,
happening.
It's just, yeah, it's just there. And so we call that table wine. Like if you go to a restaurant in Italy and you just have a lunch, they'll just give you a table wine, which is, you know, oftentimes made by the owner of the restaurant, or it's just, you know, usually not great, not bad, just kind of your everyday drinking wine. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a wine that caught my attention because it's TEH, which is the initials of the Elliott Homestead, and I'd never seen it before.
Oh, cute.
But it's a Vino Rosso, and this is cool because this is what the back of the bottle says. Fuso is our project to search for and bottle Italy's natural and characterful daily drinkers. Okay? Daily drinkers, ladies and gentlemen. We work with farmers and produce friends who are committed to organic viticulture, low intervention, and terroir-driven wines. So this is a blend from different wineries around Italy, kind of trying to achieve this red table wine. Like, this is what you will taste if you get a table wine in Italy. You know, like kind of trying to capture that essence.
Okay.
And it's so good. It's
cool.
Bold, what are but the not grapes? Syrupy. It doesn't even say. It just says red wine made with organic grapes. Like, literally, that's all the information. So I'm going to need to do a little bit more digging. I've never seen it before. I just opened it. And it's absolutely delicious. So Vino Rosso just means red wine. Mm-hmm. So it's just a table wine for daily drinkers, ladies and gentlemen. So if you like to have, this is my little glass. So these are really common. This is what I drink my wine out of. I don't really use wine glasses. So these are just these little tumblers. And it's very casual. It's very simple. It's very humble. And it's so good. You would really like this bottle.
Okay. I wrote it down.
Request it. Anyway, dryfarmwines.com/homemaker chic is where you can go to get that.
Red wine button on Instagram.
Yeah, red wine button. There you go. There you go. Okay. Let's talk about getting good at laundry, because you said you didn't like it until you got good at it. So one of the pivotal points for me in getting good at laundry was learning to hand wash and dry clean things by myself. That was really exciting to me. And it made me, like, when I just washed a wool sweater, and it's this really beautiful sweater that I got at a thrift store. It's made in Norway, and it has the little pewter buttons and everything, and it's wonderful. And you got to hand wash it. You know, it said, the little tag even says hand sewn tag, dry clean only. It's like, I'm not going to dry clean this. They use terrible chemicals. It's really expensive.
It's terrible for you. It's so bad.
And they just say that because they're like, you're probably dumb enough, you don't know how to wash this. That's what that means. It doesn't mean you can't get it wet.
Right. Right, right, right.
So you have a lot of silk because you do some stuff with that silk company. How do you wash your silk?
I wash it like on a delicate cycle. I don't even think I would need to. And then I have a drying rack, which you almost can see in the background. I love air drying things.
Yeah.
Another thing too, like, my wardrobe is an investment. Like, I like caring for garments. And I think that's connected. I think when we stop buying cheap crap and you actually really appreciate, like, the piece of clothing that you have, whether it's yours or your kids, and you want it to, like, you show, I think, becoming more intentional with laundry and becoming good at laundry is connected to like showing respect for how hard you worked for your money, or how hard your husband worked for your money, or the quality of a garment. I mean, it's like sort of detaching from shedding a little bit of the disposable lifestyle mindset.
Big time.
When you're going to care for your clothing. And I nerd out on caring for my clothing that way. Like, I like caring for the fibers. Like, I like it. It seems old school to me. It seems appreciative. Mm-hmm. All those things.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought a little alpaca sweater in December, and it was a little bit more of an investment piece. You know, one you needed to take care of. So I hand washed it. And then I did I had a little sweater, like comb. And I'm like combing the little sweater, you know, to like keep it from pilling.
Do you have one of those that cool? Do you have the one that's like this? It's like
no, I have like one of the ones where you tease your roots in your hair that I use for my sweaters.
What? Like a rat and tease comb? My gosh.
Works great.
You really should get the ones. Where is mine? It's like a Y shape with it. They're brass or gold, and they have a little wooden handle. You can get them on Amazon. They come in a 2-pack. I bought them for my trips last year. Amazing.
And they just fluff it up and
depill it. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Near.
What's it called?
Oh my gosh.
What's that called?
A lint. Well, I started with a lint brush search, and I just found it on Amazon.
Brush.
I can look. But.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. And so it's great for sweaters. It's great for animal hair.
Okay.
It's just wonderful. Okay. Wonderful. I love them. And I read all the reviews, and people are like, this stupid little tool is as good as you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Branch Basics actually has a little hand brush like that. It kind of has stiff bristles, and then it's just a round little nub on the top that you can kind of grab. Mm-hmm. So when you're working on stains, you know, you can put on a little of the liquid concentrate, put on a little bit of the oxygen boost, and then you can kind of just with this little brush. It's a natural bristle brush and a wooden handle. And it's like this silly little thing that I have on my shelf that every time I look at it, I was like, that makes me happy.
Mm.
It's the right tool for the right job. If I have a stain, like I've got the things I need, none of which are crazy expensive, but it's just like having these little pieces of the right thing that like, that's the beauty bit of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like feeling like when a sweater goes through and you wash it well, and then you have your little sweater comb, and you're now it's not pilled and it looks nice and fluffed and beautiful. That's like raking and weeding your garden bed. You're like, dang, that looks good. I'm glad I did that. Like, that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's called a lint remover, fuzz shaver. If you start looking under shaver.
Yeah. Sweater you're shaver. Gonna find it. I've seen sweater a shaver. Lot of.
Yep. They're, gosh, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good because Sue and I have, maybe I've told you this. Sometimes I can't remember what we talk about in the podcast
or what we talk
about on the phone, but Stuart actually really likes to dress well.
Mm-hmm.
And he has kind of gotten to the place where he's really tried to separate his work clothes, farm clothes, from nice pieces, investment pieces, because he does dress up. He teaches. He wears slacks and a dress shirt when he teaches. He wears all different sorts of things to church, but like sometimes it's a 3-piece suit, you know, always it's dress pants and a tie or a vest or a sweater or something. So, I mean, he's a good dresser. And he likes to dress well. But part of that means learning how to care for things well, because you can't put, I bought him a really nice, like silk fabric button up white shirt with the, what are the sleeves called that you put the things in?
Cufflinks.
Thank you. It's one of the shirts where you have the little cufflinks, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just willy-nilly throw that shirt in with your dirty kitchen rags. Like, you have to take care of it, or it's going to get stained. It's going to get ruined. Mm-hmm. It's going to take on colors or smells or something that it's not supposed to. Anyway, part of this, we did this when we were really poor, but we set ourselves a monthly budget for clothes. And when you have kids, that's tricky because they'll eat it all.
Their
feet are always growing. Their clothes are always like busted out in the knees or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we just decided we would slowly build our wardrobe by buying one piece a month. One nice piece a month. So it's not enough to like just break the bank. It's not like you're just going to do an overhaul. And it's exactly like what we've been talking about on this podcast all this time. This isn't like a one and done kind of a thing. Like
Right.
it's slow, it's habits. If you were to get to the end of the year and be like, I have 12 nice pieces, whether it's a nice cocktail dress that you can wear to all kinds of occasions, or a nice, natural fiber cardigan, or it's a really nice pair of slacks, or a nice pair of leather loafers, whatever. Anyway, but part of this is very exciting to me because when you have specialty items like that, you do have to be a little bit more careful. When you have natural fiber sweaters, you can't just throw them in the washer and throw them in the dryer. You can't do that. They'll shrink up. Don't do that. So
Right.
lay them flat. Okay, we have to do our hit our home organization challenge.
Okay, I want
Just
to
hit our
suggest
home.
one more thing.
Yeah,
So we, I mean,
please do.
I have my drying rack and we use it a ton. If you don't have the space for like a big, like your quintessential like Amish drying rack, the British have these wonderful ones that they have on the ceiling. It's like a pulley system. You can get one of those, and they do sell them here in the States. If you need like extra room, you can't have one more thing on the floor. One of those ceiling drying racks might be really wonderful for you. And then if you're just in an apartment or like you're just like you don't have any extra space, you take a really one of your nicest plush, most plush bath towels and just lay it on your bed or lay it on your sofa or if you're just in a small flat and lay the sweater out flat on that and let the towel help absorb that. You can do that. You can do it on the top, the same kind of idea on the top of your dryer with a nice big towel and laying something flat. And that's another kind of easy way to air dry something.
Yeah, and have a spot for things. We're going through the complete book of home organizations, so we'll get to the laundry room, but so much of what we've already covered in the kitchen in this thing is just like have a spot for the things. Have a spot for your laundry cleaners, have a spot for your stain cleaners, have a spot for all the weird stuff that comes through your dryer, have a spot to hang your sweaters or your line dried stuff. Have a spot to put laundry that you need to take to the laundry room, but you can't wash yet. Have a hamper in there for just miscellaneous things that find their way to the laundry room. Have a tub to do your hand washing in or to soak things in if they need a little bit more stain cleaning. Just like anticipate what are the needs and just find a system that works in your imperfect space. Okay. So, we are going through the complete book of home organization. We are still in the kitchen. We're still in the kitchen. We will get out of
Okay.
here, but we're not there yet. So, I know some of you are following along. So, we're going to cover a few today. Okay? So, because some of these aren't going to take too long. So, number 37, this is your home organization challenge task, is to create a recipe binder. So, I just shared with my cooking community how I keep my cooking community recipes. And it's a three-ring binder. It's small and it just has the wipeable, what are these called? The transparent page things that hold
Sleeves.
things. What are they called?
Sleeves.
Sleeves. Yeah. And then I just, a little label maker. One says like mains, one says side dishes, one soups and salads. And I just keep those binders in my kitchen. But if you print stuff off, if you print recipes off from the internet, I mean, just get a three-ring binder and sleeves. Don't make it so
Yeah, and you just
complicated.
drop them in there. You don't have to hole punch it.
Yeah, just
Drop it in the
exactly.
sleeve.
Just
Yeah.
drop them in the sleeve, organize them however it sees fit. But think about how you got recipes shoved places and some are on cards and some are printed out. And this recipe book you haven't touched in 3 years, but for some reason it's sitting on your main shelf. Like, take a step back, okay? Organize by category, get some page protectors, get a binder. And organize your cookbooks. Organize your recipe binder.
I will go so far as to tear out a recipe. If there's one recipe in the whole dang book that I make, I rip it out and throw the book away. Get out.
That's the thing, we've been talking about, the amount of work that my kitchen has to do, I cannot keep things in it that don't serve a purpose. period. I don't have the space for it. I don't have the mental space for it. And even my own cooking community recipes, some of them I make so much that I don't need a recipe for it. So the ones that I keep in my book are only the ones that I need to make sure I get measurements right on. So we're all going to do this differently, but please do this and share a picture with us over on Instagram if you organize your recipes. Okay. And then a few other things that we tend to accumulate in the kitchen, storing medicine and vitamins properly. Oh my word. I probably have 30 supplement bottles on a lazy Susan and not probably the best spot for it, but they're there. I need one of those old lady pill things, like the AM PM pill things where you just once a week, you fill all the holes, you know, and just dump it into your hand. I need to get one of those.
I just have an old bread cabinet that I use for mine.
Yeah.
On the counter.
There you
go. That's where I keep all my.
It is a good place to keep them. You remember to take them when they're in the kitchen. It's weird.
Yeah. And everybody, I'm to the point now where people are old enough, like they take their own.
Yeah.
So they got to be able to find it.
Yeah.
And get to it. Yeah.
So she just encourages you to kind of purge ones that you don't need in there. You know, only keep the ones you're using every day. The rest can go in the medicine cabinet, right? Store them in the right thing and just, make sure you check, make sure they're organized. Pretty simple.
Cool.
Okay, and then one more for you is to bin your cans. So we don't really use canned food at all. So this is a kind of a hard one for me. I don't really have any tips on this, but there are can storage bins where you fill the top, but you can pull one out of the bottom.
Like the next one comes forward type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And those are a good way to do it. So you can, for those of you watching the video, you can see the picture here. So there are these plastic bins that line up well.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of, aside from like some
coconut milk.
Sometimes I keep like a few. Yeah, exactly. Coconut milk and little diced green chilies.
Yeah.
So if I need to just add some flavor quick, I keep a few of those on hand.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Anyway.
Not a lot of canned stuff.
Not a lot of canned stuff here either. But
escargot, you know, just normal stuff.
Totally normal.
Totally normal.
As one does. And that's where I'm going to stop for this week because the next one's a doozy. Okay. And it kind of makes me want to cry because...
Well, last week I put it on Instagram. I did my island again. You know, I try to do my island every couple weeks, but I did it again before the Monday morning and just got everything refilled and wiped down. And dang, if I don't love that space. And there were a few, you know, like we've been saying, find the sticking point. You know, there was like I had my metal flippers and tongs and stuff in one space and my wooden spoons in another. And then tinfoil and stuff like that was off to the side. And so I got all my champagne buckets that I only use every once in a while and put those on the island. And now everybody doesn't have to go, where's the tinfoil? Mm-hmm. Where's the paper towel? Mm-hmm. No, it's all right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we still have a few of your questions and points that we want to touch on before we end today, but hang with us for just 2 minutes while we run our ads. And thank you to our advertisers of Homemaker Chic Podcast. We'll be right back. Let's be blunt. We think everyone can benefit from doing their monthly shopping with Azure Standard. Right now, we want you to visit homemakerchicpodcast.com/AZURE, Azure, and get shopping by finding a drop point near you or even signing up to head up your own. Azure Standard is a family-owned, Oregon-based whole food grocer that delivers all around the United States each month. This is how I grocery shop every month for items that we need. To give you an idea, my order usually includes bulk grains and flours, dried lentils and beans and peas, butter, cheese, and other dairy products, specialty grocery items like soy sauce, dried herbs, spice blends, teas, glass gallon jars. This is where I get it all. But you don't have to order huge amounts. They offer bulk items and small items, your choice. We encourage you to visit homemakerchicpodcast.com/Azure, build a cart full of the products that you need to run your home and kitchen well, from plant starts in the spring to fresh produce to baking supplies to everything in between. Azur has exceptional offerings and the price and selection are on point. Right now, you can get 10% off your first order by using the code HC10. This promotion expires April 30th, 2024, and is only available to first-time Azur customers with a minimum $100 order or more to a drop location, one-time use per customer. Visit homemakerchicpodcast.com/Azur and get shopping. Tubes & Co. will supply you with everything you need for non-toxic skincare, but did you know that they'll also supply all your makeup needs? Standard makeup is filled with harsh preservatives and chemicals, but not Tubes & Co. You can use code HMC10 for 10% off and shop Emily's perfect formulas for liquid foundations, concealers, mineral makeup, natural blush, creamy cheek tints, luminizers and bronzers, all made without any chemicals, artificial fragrances, or preservatives. For each piece of makeup you shop, whether it's the long lash mascara, eyeshadow, or eyebrow pencils, you can view an entire list of all the ingredients included right on the product page. Emily is transparent and open about all the ingredients included, and she should be proud of this work. This is an incredible, clean makeup line that you can feel good about using and that works wonderfully. Visit tubesandco.com and use code HMC10 for 10% off your natural makeup purchase with Tubes & Co.
Homemaker Chic listeners, you hear me talk all the time about how much I love interior design. I want to help you become your home's very best interior designer. If you want to take your passions and create a tasteful, well-designed home using interior design elements and principles that withstand all those decorating trends, then I want you to join my Old World Design Society today, and I'm treating you to a free week so you can see what it's like. Not everyone can afford an interior designer, but with the Society, you're going to be part of a private forum of people just like you who are posting their projects, questions, ideas. Every week, I issue a design challenge to help you stretch your creativity. We meet for coffee every Friday morning, and once a month, you can send me all your design questions and your photographs, whatever you're working on, and I'm going to answer those during a live design Q&A call. If you're tired of pinning, if you're tired of scrolling, and you want to make friends and be a part of a group that actually encourages the application of ideas, this private group is just for you. Let me treat you to a free week. Click the red circle that says design over on our Instagram page, or scroll down in these show notes, click the link, and become a part of the Society today.
All right. Did you read the Instagram messages this week?
Well, I don't have my phone on because I had to turn it off because it was doing weird things to my microphone. So,
okay. So a few suggestions, a few comments. I'll just kind of go through some of them at the top here. So Katarina recommended to us using a simple to-list system. So as we're talking about organizing and creating margin, sometimes we hold these things in our head, and that does not create margin. For anything.
Not mental margin.
Not mental margin. Yeah. So she keeps two systems. So one is just the today list. And then she keeps a second one for just the general list. So when you think of something, my mom used to work with a woman who would write it all down on Post-it notes. Take out trash. Call vet. Whatever. Prep supper. And she would stick all these Post-it notes, and she hated them. So the goal was always like, get them off. She'd take them, you know, as soon as she'd finish one, she'd take it off and scrush it up and throw it away. So if ugly Post-it notes on your wall encourage you, then do that. But anyway, keep those lists. Get it out of your head for sure.
There's something about getting it out of your head.
Yes.
Dang it.
Yes.
Out and down. Get it out and down.
Get it out and down. I got a couple of messages asking me what website I use to print off my pictures. We talked on that a few episodes ago. So I use a website called Artifact Uprising. They're perfect and I love them so much.
They do such a good job.
They're incredible.
Holy cow. Like, beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. We already talked about the test, what the test was called. This is one from Jessica that's I'm going to shoot over to you. She said, I'm listening to your newest episode. Curious to know what your recommendations on cute, comfy, warm winter shoes are that aren't Uggs.
Cute, comfy, warm winter shoes. Ew. I don't know. I mean, as far as like a specific brand, I just buy shoes as I like them. and I wear tennis shoes around the house. So,
but out of the house, like I wear Sorel, you know, cute boots. So yeah. I wear those out instead of Uggs.
Out of the house, I mean, I've been wearing a lot of Avaya lately. I like them a lot. They're like waterproof. They're the boot one that you saw me wear in Paris. I love it. And they have like a waterproof aspect to them. So if you don't want to like slog around in big snow boots or whatever, but it's going to be raining or damp or snowing, you know, between your front door and the vehicle, I really like them.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. I often wear muck boots, like black, sleek, tall. I mean, I call them muck boots. Wellies would be another word for them. They look nice. You know, you can tuck your jeans into them. They keep your feet dry, but they look way more sleek, way more stylish.
Yeah, I have navy blue ones that I wear.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, I should have marked these a little bit better. I love the things that people say send to us. They're quite funny. Okay, I thought you would appreciate this too. So we got sent this reel, and it said, "What in the elementary school teacher is happening at Abercrombie and Fitch right now?" And it's denim. Look at this reel. Maybe some of you guys have seen this, but it's the denim dresses, the denim button-ups, the denim skirt, like just denim, 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 denim.
And
elementary school teacher. That's exactly what I thought
exactly
of.
That's exactly what it is. I'm going to say something. I'm going to pull a Shay and say something controversial. I cannot think of a worse shirt for women than the denim button-up.
Why? I wear denim button-ups. I like them.
I'm sorry.
I'm pro denim button-up. I disagree.
No.
Why?
I don't like them.
Why? Because
they look like your husband's shirt upsized. I just don't think I don't care for them at all. No thanks.
I
told you.
Disagree strongly. I wear them with cute tight black pants and hoop earrings and, you know, curly hair. I can tell I'm not a man. The 90s weren't all bad. I'm kind of into it. I loved the way my elementary school teachers dressed. I was like, damn, these women got it going on. Look at them.
Oh my gosh.
I was wearing a denim flap hat with a fake sunflower in the middle. Remember those? What? What? You didn't wear those?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, I had a collection. I'll send you some pictures.
I was not I know you were a sunflower. I was not a sunflower person.
I have loved sunflowers.
I know.
As long as you've loved Princess Diana, I have loved sunflowers. Okay. It's an unhealthy affection, probably. Okay, somebody asked, we talked about drinking electrolytes instead of water. We had a controversial anti-water episode.
Okay.
Somebody asked, what do you drink for electrolytes? Because there's a lot of
trace minerals, raspberry.
Yeah. There's a lot of sugary options. So, Azer, love Azer, by the way, if you don't listen to the ads, will you please, and will you go use that coupon code for
all
Azer?
The questions you guys ask us all the time are all in the ads. Where do you buy your groceries? What kind of meat do you like? What kind of vitamins do you like? What do you clean your house with? Everything's in the ads.
When you put your Azer order in, they sell something called Power Pack by Trace Minerals, and I buy 3 of those every single month because almost everybody in my house has a pack.
I was going to say, do your kids take them? My kids take them like
crackheads. We have a one pack a day rule.
Otherwise,
it would just be like my Juliet will eat them like she's eating like what's the sugar dip candy?
Pixie sticks
or something. Yeah. She just like eats them straight on her finger.
Exactly.
But I wish I had one with me to read out, but it's like X amount of vitamin C, X amount of B vitamins, X amount of trace minerals, salt. They're really good. And so I take one every day. Sometimes I take it with if lemons are in season, then I'll do a squeeze of fresh lemon in it. I'll do a drop of vitamin D in it. I will do drops of extra trace minerals if I'm recovering from an illness. Sometimes I'll do mushroom tinctures. I'll do a drop of those in there. So when I'm drinking water, it's really counting.
It with carbonated water. I mean, I love it because it's like a treat.
It is. It's
and
such
be careful because it's like extra fizzy. If you've never tried Azure before, you really should because Homemaker Chic's going to hook you up with 10% off. So if you're curious about these, add them to your cart. I believe they have other flavors as well. Grapefruit, different ones like for immunity. But yeah, they're 1,200 milligrams of vitamin C.
There you go.
In these, along with the trace minerals and everything. So they're my favorite. I love them. Mm-hmm. I use them for travel. You know, when you just are, even on an overnight, you're just off because you're not home after a workout in the morning when you wake up. I love them. I recommend them to everybody.
Traveling, no matter where I go.
On my Paris trips, I'm like, here's my recommendation. Bring power packs because they help so much even with jet lag. And yeah, I swear by them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Another one of those things, you guys, that I had to tell Angela many times to get. I was like, you got to try these. You got to try these. You got to try these.
Yeah. I was like, what?
And now, yeah. Okay. Elizabeth asked you way back when you mentioned a book about Nineveh. Title and author, she's asking. Do you remember this?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know if it was just called Nineveh, but I know it's out of print. I read it like 20 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know. If I find it, I will let you guys know because I'd love to read it again. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. And then we got a recommendation. So we talk a lot about clothing and the IBTC and undergarments and like all those things. We always touch on them.
The IBTC. Every time you say that, it makes me laugh.
Oh my gosh. Stuart and I were pulling wire through conduit as we're trying really hard to get this electrical line pulled before the snow flies. And so, and it's hard. These wires are stiff. And I've pushed the conduit up against my body. Okay. And I'm pulling with my hands as the wires are feeding through the conduit. And the conduit's pushed up against my body. And he was like, careful. You don't want to squish your ladies. And I'm like, listen, pal, my boobs are way further north than where this conduit is.
I know when you were just
listen to me. There is going to be a day when they go there, but they're not there yet. All right. And I actually thought for my fellow IBTC people out here, the one really good thing about being a part of this group is that you don't really get saggy boobs because there's nothing to sag. You know, my boobs are pretty much. Yeah. They're not the same shape, but they're where they were.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was just quite funny. I was like, they're here, but they're not down by my belly button. Like, what do we think is happening here? Anyway, Macy said, this is the best everything. I am obsessed. I collect all the patterns of camis, the only bras I will wear, the only underwear, the only socks I will wear, all the basics. They're so worth trying. Been buying from them forever, and it's Pact, which I've heard of, but I don't think I've ever ordered from. Just PACT, Pact. So I'm gonna check them out because what happens to underwear? What?
I don't know.
What happens? I'm like, did an animal chew this and then leave it up in a tree and then somehow it ended up in my drawer? What happened here?
Well, speaking of laundry, they really, that stuff should be hand washed. Your bras,
really?
Your underwear. Yeah.
Think underwear? About it.
Yes. It's so thin. And I think.
I didn't know
probably
that.
Should be hand washed. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to have to think about that. Anyway, I do need some new underwear. I have basically zero TMI, but. I'm going to have to check that out. So thank you, Macy, for that recommendation.
The man that discovered Nineveh is Henry Layard, Layard. And he does have, looks like a pretty extensive autobiography. I'm not sure if that's what I read. But that could maybe send you on a goose chase. Okay. You want to start looking for that.
Okay. If we think of it, we'll let you know. Yeah. Okay, ladies, thanks for all your messages over on Instagram. Keep them coming. If there's anything in particular you're feeling like you need support in keeping the margins with, then let us know so we can make sure to do an episode on it. There's just so much still I want to talk about, Angela. There's so much still I want to talk about, but I guess that's what the rest of the season is for.
Yeah.
Good topic choice.
Yeah. Seven more.
There you go. Welcome. Okay. Again, thank you to all of our sponsors and advertisers. Angela has made it so easy for you. Go over to Instagram, hit the red button. So simple. And of course, we appreciate it so much when you share the podcast with your sister, with your girlfriend, with a friend that you think will enjoy it. It really helps us and it helps the growth of the podcast, which keeps us here. So thank you for doing that as well. We really appreciate it all.
We're going to be back on Monday. Yep. With another idea, another place in the home, in our homemaking routine where we can mind the gap.
There you go. See you then. Cheers.